All right, here we go. Tom Skilling's joining the show now. It's Tuesdays with Tom, our regular segment sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, how are you today? How you doing?
Oh, Anna, I'm wonderful. I there's something about just seeing all this sunlight that raises the spirits all by itself. But here we are in meteorological spring on top of it. So how about that?
Oh,
welcome
to March and happy meteorological spring. I forgot to wish you that. I'm sorry. I was a little, I was rude.
That's all right.
Tom, I wanted to ask you, though, have you been able to get the vaccine yet? Last we spoke a week ago, you were still trying to do that. What's going on?
Yes. You know what? I did have the shot. Met with Dr. Carey and his group over on Diversey. Anna, this is the most amazing facility on the north side of Chicago. They have a converted auto dealership there, which is perfect for their application. Dr. Carey and his associates have set this up, and where the automobiles used to go in for service, they have a drive-through that conducts COVID-19 tests. And then you walk into the facility where the cars used to be exhibited, and there they give you the shots. So there are lines there, but everything has run so expeditiously, you go right through. And I had my first shot back Wednesday last week.
Nice.
So yes, and I hope you have too, Anna, or are close to it, because I feel so much better now having gotten it. And I know it's been a devil to get it, because I've had a time too, but have it right now, so that's good.
Describe that feeling, because I know my mom just said, even though she's not going out to any warehouse parties or anything like that anytime soon, she honestly, it affected her blood pressure to just be stressed about getting the vaccine, and her blood pressure improved after she got it. It sort of was like this weight lifted off her shoulders, and she just, I don't know, like she can breathe again. Maybe that's the way to describe it.
It's so true. What a wonderful description. I feel exactly the same way, and I hope all of our listeners are in the same boat in the very, very near future, if they aren't there already. It is comforting to know that we've gotten it. And I know they're keeping an eye on all these strains that are showing up, but so far, so good, Anna, and it looks like we're making some progress on getting these vaccinations done, which is good.
And the J&J, the Johnson
& Johnson. Have you had yours?
No, I haven't. I don't think I'm allowed to go yet, and I think I've just got to wait my turn. That's sort of what I'm thinking, you know, because we were joking yesterday that I got a note from a friend of mine who sent me a picture that was circulating on Facebook of people with 80s hair, like women who had the big hair, and I had it too, and the big bangs and the big, you know, perms and all that stuff. And I had it.
She said,
if you had hair like this, you may be next in line for the vaccine. So I'm figuring I'm kind of next in line. Maybe they're going to get back down to me. I don't know. I'm waiting my turn because I know there are so many vulnerable people who really, really need to get it. And when it's my turn, I'll take my turn. Hey, that converted auto shop, though, that you mentioned, is that it's not like a show up thing. You got to make an appointment, right?
Yes, you do. You do. And I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting. The newsroom called me and they said, hey, we've gotten wind. There may be a shot available for you. And would you be interested? I said, oh, I sure would. And so because I had trouble getting it, Anna, I'd been checking with my doctor and they said, we just don't have supplies yet. But it's interesting. About the time I heard from the newsroom and the connection with this place, I got a notice from the hospital, Northwestern. I've been working with those folks. I had my gastric bypass down there, and they do such a great job. And they alerted me that I could now sign up because I'm in that group of 65 and older, you know, that can get in on this. And I kind of feel good about it, but I'm telling you, I've been something of a hermit anyway, Anna, so I don't think I've been at great risk of getting it. I've been happy to stay home and do my work out of home. And have been getting out on a rather limited basis, to say the least. So I don't think I was at high risk, and I felt the same way you did, Anna. I wanted people to get it who really needed it before I did, our first responders and so forth. So that's good.
It is good. You know, and it's interesting. You mentioned a converted auto shop is a spot to get a vaccine. You're going to hear the United Center soon will be a place where you can potentially drive through or walk up to a window and start getting vaccines. They're starting to make it really more accessible to folks? I got to tell you, this whole vaccine Olympics of trying to get the appointment has frustrated so many. I'll be happy when that's in the rearview mirror because, they like to blame seniors and their tech savviness and stuff. I'm not even sure it's just tech savviness. I think you could be a systems engineer at Google and not have gotten an appointment based on the way it's been operating lately. And I just think that's led to so much frustration. But now we've got a Johnson & Johnson vaccine here that's coming to the city. I guess we get 20,000 plus doses by the end of the week. And that's going to, that's going to make a difference. You're going to have one of three vaccines now, three different ones to get. And that helps the whole process, I think, Tom.
No question about it, Anna. I always feel like such a back number. First of all, I'm so busy with my work, I don't have time to, really do the research to find it. So I was just lucky to get word of this thing. But I hope everybody gets this because there is a peace of mind that comes with it. And I think we're all in a various stage of a PTSD after all that's gone on over the last year with this thing. So, it'll be good when we get that the shots in our arms, as they like to say.
Yeah, and it's just around the corner, they think. By summer, everyone could have a chance to get it, but it's not that far away. We'll talk about our weather in just a second here. I do want to just throw out Vaccine Angels and Chicago Vaccine Hunters, two different folks, little volunteer groups that have sprouted up, just folks not getting paid. They took to Facebook and different websites, and they're just helping you find an appointment. If you don't have someone in your family who is able to hunt for one or you're not having luck, you just go to them, and they're just total strangers, Tom, just help. Helping people get those vaccines.
How wonderful. I'll tell you, people really do come forward. We had a piece we ran on our news just the other night about teachers who have taken it upon themselves to try and help people connect with these shots. And I can tell you, as one who didn't have time to do the research, people like that are godsends. They really are doing wonderful work. They're guardian angels for us all, and thank goodness we have people like that who are so public minded and spirited. And it's just great. They're really
selfless. Yeah. Well said, Tom. Well said. Back with Tom Skilling here now, and this segment's sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, I'm looking at your forecast here. It's not even the extended forecast. It's the 6 days. 6 days. And I see a 60-degree temperature in this forecast, and I was thrilled to see that because I had heard rumors that that might happen. And I looked at yours this morning, and I thought, wow, how awesome.
Yeah, this is March. It's our fastest warming month. We did it. We looked through the weather records. My colleague Steve Kahn dug through these for me, and we found out that 83% of Marches produce a 60 or higher temp, and 52% of Marches, and this is 150 of them we have to look back on, going back to 1871, more than half of them, 52%, have produced 70-degree temps. So, while we're not out of the woods yet on cold weather entirely, nor is it out of the realm of possibility we could yet see snow, we don't see anything like that, Anna, for the foreseeable future. And in fact, temperatures are well above average. It is stunning how we bounce back from that 14 or 16-day cold surge we had in February, which really constituted the bulk of the winter weather we've had for the whole winter season. We had one cold spell back around Christmas time in late December, but other than that, and this 16-day spell in February, we've done pretty well. We finished winter, the December, January, February period. That's what we call winter in the climatological and meteorological profession, about a degree above normal. But that belies the fact that December and January were really warm and February was really cold with that 16-day Arctic blast incorporated in it. So, down in Texas, they've had 90-degree temperature rebounds week to week from that the cold weather that caused all the electrical grid problems we've been hearing about down there. So it hit hard. Hit dramatically and pulled back just as dramatically after it hit. And now we're in a pattern that seems sustained, in which the warm weather seems sustained. And, make what you will of it, we have model runs out beyond a month now. And they say overall, the rest of the month should average above normal. Doesn't mean there won't be a cold spell embedded in there, but when you average it out, looks like the temps may come in above normal, which is really the way the winter ran by and large, except for February.
Yeah. That's great. That's good to hear that we may be out of the worst of it, or it seems like we are. Could you say that, Tom?
Yeah, we're not going to have anything like we saw there with sub-zero cold. I mean, it can still get cold. It can still snow. We can still have a snowstorm, and even more than one. But we just don't see it at this point. And the deeper we go into March, with the days lengthening and everything else, you know, we're getting 2.5 times the sun in our March sunlight that we got it back in December. And that plus longer days, the sun trekking across the sky higher and higher above us, meaning it delivers its rays more directly and with more energy. You know, it gets harder and harder to sustain a bitterly cold air mass. So I think we're away from that risk from this point on. Now, we'll see if we get one of these late season snowstorms to show up somewhere down the road. But we also are in, you know, severe weather season. And this is severe weather preparedness week across Illinois. Because, you know, while April, May, and June are our big months around here for severe weather, like thunderstorms and tornadoes, you can still get them in March in parts of the state. So that will become the issue that we'll keep an eye on as well.
You know, I got to ask you about that because our station engineer, I promised him, Bob Fukuda, he said, you know, when you talk to Tom next, we ask this question, and I'm really interested in your answer. He says there's a prediction of a more active tornado season due to La Nina. Is that what you folks are expecting?
Well, you know, Bob's on target on that. And he told me, by the way, he said, you know, I'm going to be part of the show today. So he said, Anna's going to ask you a question. Good for Bob. But it's always fun. Bob and I have long conversations before we take this segment. So we have a lot of fun. But he's right. These La Ninas, and you can, no two La Ninas are exactly the same. But this is that cooling of the equatorial Pacific water. It seems like it's thousands of miles away, and it is. But it affects the jet streams there, and that in turn affects the jet streams here. And there is some body of evidence that suggests that, you know, these La Nina springs are active ones for severe weather. So whether this one will actually do it or not, we'll see. But I noticed Victor Gensini, who's a researcher at the Northern Illinois University, made the comment. He's come up with a technique for looking at potential future jet stream orientations in a season ahead. And he was saying that there are some indications that this month may grow active in the severe weather arena before it's over. So I think Bob's on to something. This may be an active spring.
We'll have to keep our eyes on that. I know you will. The other thing I heard, too, is that hurricane season could begin a little earlier, that NOAA's taking a look at things and maybe pushing that start date up a little bit. I thought that was fascinating.
It is fascinating. You know, the conventional Atlantic hurricane season is June through November. But you know what the Hurricane Center is doing? Because of the fact that we've gotten these named storms to show up in May, in like the last 6 years consecutively, it does seem like our hurricane seasons are growing longer and expanding and commencing earlier than the conventional June 1st starting date. So they're going to start issuing out of the Hurricane Center down in Miami tropical outlooks that are daily releases during the conventional hurricane season. They're starting them May 15th this year. And there is talk. It hasn't been decided definitively yet. Perhaps formally extending the Atlantic hurricane season, perhaps starting it in May, at some point in May instead of in June, because that's been the trend in recent years. Although somebody pointed out, too, that if you look from the mid-60s through the mid-80s, all those years, none of them had very early appearances of named tropical storms. So this has been kind of a recent phenomenon, at least on a consecutive year basis. And, you know, our oceans are warming as part of this, you know, warming climate we've got going, and that tends to foster earlier tropical cyclone or tropical storm and hurricane development.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I want to ask you, too, what's happening with our lake as you look out there. I don't know if you saw, actually, in Rockford, they had a situation where they had to rescue two fishermen out there because they were out on the ice, and it broke away from the shore, and suddenly they're like, whoa, how do we get back there? So they rescued them, and everything worked out okay there. But you just kind of what you're looking at is you see the ice coverage on Lake Michigan. What can you tell us, Tom?
Well, you know, that's a good point. And, you know, it's funny. I had contact via social media by Alan Haraf, who for years was with the Coast Guard. Alan is retired now, but we've done some work with him over the years. In fact, we went out on a Coast Guard icebreaker in the northern Great Lakes a couple of years back. It was a fascinating experience, because to watch these vessels break through ice that sometimes is 3 and 4 feet thick is quite interesting, and they do that to keep, you know, transportation going on the Great Lakes. That's a $500 million worth of cargo is, you know, carried on our Great Lakes each year. But Alan made the comment that every year the Coast Guard is called in to rescue these folks who find themselves on these ice floes that have broken off and then drifted out in the lake, and these people find themselves trapped, which is kind of a horrifying thing to think about. Sure. We often see animals out there, too, that have gone out there unwittingly onto ice that then breaks off, and they find themselves drifting out into the open lake. There's a word of caution with this, Anna, as we have so dramatically warned. Stay off ice on these lakes and all. It's becoming thin and thinner than you might realize, and you can get into some real trouble. And it was a point Alan made to me, and it's a, you bring it up, and it's a good point to emphasize.
Yeah.
Don't consider ice safe.
Oh, I agree, Tom. When you see that, that's all. That just look up that video if you're worried about going out on the ice. Hey, just today, quickly, just about 20 seconds here, but what are we looking at just the next 24 hours?
Well, 55 tomorrow, Anna. We'll have 40s this afternoon, but 55 tomorrow. It turns a little cooler Thursday, Friday with winds off the lake, but we'll see 50s back in the picture here in Chicago on Saturday, Sunday. And it looks very much like low and mid-60s may be ours on Monday and Tuesday of next week. So how about that?
That'd be the
warmest weather of the season of the year so far.
Love the way it sounds.
Making progress, Anna.
Thank you, Tom. It's good hearing from you. Have a good Tuesday, okay?
You too, Anna. Nice to talk to you, and hello to everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Talk to you later, Tom. Be well. It's top of the hour time, and that means we got to get to the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.